Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
To you and welcome to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll dive right in. This whole COVID thing is proof that no matter what Trump does, the media will criticize him. If he turns around and reverses what he's doing that they don't like, they'll criticize him for reversing it. It's unbelievable. Okay, started with Jake Tapper with CNN criticizing Trump for getting sick with the COVID, mocking him for his isolation as he convalesces with coronavirus. So what does Trump do? I mean, I'm sure not in response to Jake Tapper. He takes a kind of victory tour in the limo. Media goes wild. Total ignorance. And it's pretty easy to think through. Wait a minute. They claimed he put his supporters at risk. He did not. He never rolled down the window. They largely failed to report that the whole setup for the limo ride, and he was thanking people who were outside Walter Reed Hospital and had been out there, for many hours, hundreds of pizzas delivered, I mean, just from the president, super nice thing to do. But they cleared the whole thing in the way they had set the limo up with Trump's doctors. Mark Noller reported that. I posted that to my Twitter account, at Tara Servatius, if you want to see that for yourself. But they went wild. He is putting Secret Service at risk. It's horrible. Look at, oh my God, they're going to die. Well, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Secret Service, Cheryl Atkinson, reported, were in the front seat. They were separated from President Trump, who was in the back seat, by a glass partition. The windows were never rolled down. Everything was completely safe and approved by Trump's medical team. Which I have to give at least some credit to Mark Noller, CBS White House correspondent, for actually getting right. Most of the rest didn't choose to. And went with some version of, oh, he put lives at risk and Secret Service. Now, folks, do you think the Secret Service, seriously, going to take a break from protecting him because he's got COVID? Oh, he just won't have any Secret Service right now. Oh, no. You think they're not right outside his door at the hospital? You think when they transfer the president for his treatments or move him anywhere, they're not right on him? No, they are. Do you seriously think he's quarantined from his Secret Service and they socially distance? No. You ever seen him when there's a threat to the president? What do? They push their bodies right up against his and block his body with theirs. Believe me. His COVID diagnosis will make no difference at all in how they protect him. So the idea that he was in the car with them, that somehow should have never happened, or some bizarre thing, it's just media craziness. The idea that somehow he's going to go without Secret Service till he gets better, bizarre at best. But that's one of those stories that the media concocts without checking things so that later they can't be blamed for all the things they get wrong, which is basically the whole story. And the whole weekend went like that. Meanwhile, you see something really telling? Over 70% of Wall Street donations went to Joe Biden. It tells you who they think will take care of them, but also who they're most afraid of in terms of regulation and things like that, right? You see what happened when Trump tested positive for COVID? We had that Friday. For a while, it was real touch and go of like, how bad is it? What's going on? Do you see what happened in the market? It dipped a full 1.7% in Friday morning trades. And then I'm sitting here right now watching the reporting on it's Monday, and Trump appears to have, you know, be on his way to recovery to be healthy, market surging. What does that tell you? Well, Fox News commentator nailed this. They know where their bread's buttered, and they know that in a Biden presidency, I mean, Biden has said if a business, even a small business, is incorporated, they're getting the tax cut. They're getting the tax hike. They're ripping out the Trump tax cuts. That's a 33% increase if you happen to be incorporated instead of an LLC, right there off the top. This is going to be devastating, and Wall Street knows it. Take a listen to this Fox News commentator over the weekend talking about what the dip in the market meant as it regards Trump's COVID test.
We got more information. The market calmed down. Look, the market is concerned about what events potentially could take us into a recessionary period. And the president getting COVID is not going to do that. We have to look at a longer term situation here as it pertains to the president's COVID, and that's its impact on the election. If President Trump were not to be reelected and we have a Biden presidency, what does that mean? We already know that that's going to mean more regulations and it's going to mean more taxes. Those are not things that the market is too favorable with. So I think if we start to see a more likely Joe Biden win, we will see the market start to react to that. But if
they donate to Biden to keep the Democrats off their back, especially when it looks like they're going to win. But they know flat out they make more money in a Trump presidency because the economy roars. And I want to get into that again because we just barely scratched the surface with the podcast that I did on Friday. Folks, if there's ever a podcast that you listen to, if you listen to just one podcast before the election and that's it, it needs to be Friday's podcast. I want to ask you to do something for me, too. I want to ask you to share it with all of, you know, with your friends, with your family who are on the fence. Look, you send it to a hardcore liberal, it's going to catch their hair on fire. I'm not going to be able to change their mind. But I want you to send it to people who are like, well, I don't know. Trump's kind of mean sometimes. Yeah, Biden told Trump to shut up in the last election and nobody cared. It's just different standards with media spin. The podcast from Friday is called If You Listen to One Podcast Before You Vote, Make It This One. If you missed it, listen to it. And if you listen to it, please find at least one person to share it with before the election. Tell them, listen to this before you decide you're not voting for Trump. Because I'm here to tell you that this economy is shattering records again. And to do it with so many states shut down is phenomenal. To rack five straight months now of manufacturing growth in the middle of a pandemic, doing better in manufacturing growth than last year is nothing short of a miracle, but also highly predictable given the Trump trade policies and tax policies that will almost immediately end if Biden is elected. And people need to understand, this is how I'd put it to you. You can vote on who you think is a less rude guy, who you think's a nicer guy, but you don't get to keep the Trump economy if you vote for Biden. I know this is confusing. We've tilted back and forth between Democrat and Republican regimes. You know, good economic times, bad economic times, goes in cycles, but they've never been super remarkable for their achievement. We saw real stagnation in the Obama era, though, with that called the new normal. And I want to add, there's been new economic data that's come out. So share that podcast. If you share one thing before the election, have it be that. Tell them to listen to it if they feel like they can't vote for Trump. Now, I want to jump to this. Andy Pudzer does this in Fox Business, and it's phenomenal. The headline is September jobs numbers best since Reagan era. Don't panic, America. Now, I want to put this in context because the numbers came out, the jobs numbers came out, and it shows you the underlying strong fundamentals of the economy. Okay, here's how the media is spinning this, and it's massively frustrating. Okay, the economy created a mere 661,000 jobs in September. The media called this a slowdown. Okay, let's back up for a minute. The best ever month of job creation during the Obama-Biden administration. It was May of 2010. 540,000 jobs created. Wait, what? Yep. Trump's economy just created 661,000 jobs in September. And this is called a slowdown. Well, why is it a slowdown? See, this is how they play with semantics. This is how they fool you. This is how the media fool you. Oh, slowdown. No. See, September's job numbers were the fifth best on record for job growth in a single month. The other four were all this year under Trump. That's right. Fox Business reports following the four best months for job growth since the government began tracking the data in 1939, 4.8 million jobs in June, 2.7 million in May, 1.7 million in July, 1.4 million in August, and the economy added an additional 661,000 jobs in September. So again, the best month in the Obama administration, just 540,000 jobs. And that's with all the states open. So it goes to show you how underlying fundamentals of Trump's economy are so very different and so much healthier. Folks, if we send this man back, we could get to experience the second Trump job boom. There's no telling what the economy could do if it could do this under the strain of blue states being shut down to some degree. And red states like my own, I mean, we still haven't fully opened the restaurants yet. So, but for the four record-setting months that preceded it, September's job numbers were the best since September of 1983 during the Reagan presidency. While this is a slowdown after four record-setting highs back-to-back, keep in mind the numbers slowed to a 37-year high. Folks, you don't get to keep the Trump economy without Trump. Biden is promising to reverse everything that has led to this economy. And I go into extreme detail on that in the podcast. That if you didn't listen to it, honestly, stop listening to this podcast right now. Go back and listen to it. Share it with everybody that you can get it out to who is even remotely on the fence or you think is maybe even slightly convincible. Now, listen to this. In total, the U.S. economy has regained 11.4 million jobs, or 55% of the 20.8 million jobs lost in April to the coronavirus. And that's with many major states still at least partially shut down. This is astonishing. We've never seen anything like it. Just as encouraging, Fox Business writes, of the 25.4 million people who lost their jobs when the economy shut down, a whopping 14.2 million, or 56%, have rejoined the ranks of the employed, driving the unemployment rate down from April's 14.7% to 7.9% in September. To recall that in April, the Congressional Budget Office was forecasting a third quarter unemployment rate of 16%. We're at 7.9 right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
But the numbers are only part of the positive economic indicators. I mean, the manufacturing, the Institute for Supply Management monthly manufacturing report showed economic activity in the manufacturing sector grew in September, with the overall economy notching a fifth consecutive month of growth. That growth, and by the way, the growth surpassing what it did last year pre-COVID, that's amazing. I mean, that is heralding the next industrial revolution here in the United States of America. Trump is going to have another jobs and economic boom if we just let him. And then this, released on Tuesday, the Conference Board's consumer confidence number spiked to 101.8 in September, the highest number since the pandemic began and the largest month-to-month jump in 17 years. I mean, listen to this. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta's GDP Now forecasting model is predicting GDP growth of an astounding 34.6% in the third quarter, which ended September 30th. We don't have the number yet, right? That would be a historic high on the heels of a historic drop of 31.4% in the second quarter. So we've never seen that before, and it looks like we're headed that way. We just got this one out. According to the Federal Reserve Bank's recent flow of funds report, listen to this. The net worth of U.S. households grew in a single year 6.8%. God, can you imagine? Almost 7% growth in household wealth, household net worth in 1 year, grew to a record high of $118.96 trillion in the second quarter. So that is the overhang of 2019. That's before COVID, you know, got crazy and we lost all those jobs. We were on our way to becoming a wealthy, prosperous nation with so many rungs on that ladder for you to climb for the first time in years. God, it would break my heart to watch him lose, not for him, just for my kids and your kids and everyone's kids. I mean, we lived through the Obama era. There was no hope. There was just new normal and stagnation. Remember the term secular stagnation? It was invented in 2013 by Harvard economist Larry Summers. I'm getting this off of Bloomberg Business Week. And it caught on quickly with the financial media. It was this idea that essentially we were just going to be stuck in this forever. I mean, this we were going to have low growth, not a lot of expansion, don't expect a lot of jobs. This is what Biden and Obama left us. This was the new normal. Everybody forget. I don't forget. Now, the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta's GDP Now forecasting model is predicting GDP growth of an astounding 34.6% in the third quarter. I mean, that is astonishing. We are hitting record U.S. household net worth, and that was by second quarter this year, so it was before COVID had the ability to knock it down. We are setting record after record after record. Look at this. Look at this. The poverty rate also fell 1.3 points to 10.5%, the largest one-year decline on record, and a record low going back to 1959 when the government began reporting the data. So, lowest poverty rate in 60 years in 2019. And this is after we were told to accept stagnation as the new normal. And they even invented a phrase for it, secular stagnation. Heard that recently? Nope. It's a thing of the past. But it doesn't have to be the case. You elect Biden, he'll bring it back. And it was. I remember 2013 and 2014. That was common. New normal? Stagnation? Yep. Speaking of stagnation, that brings me to this. Were the COVID shutdowns for nothing? Were they utterly unnecessary? Did they alter the course of this thing? Not at all. It appears to be so. Not just in National Review's opinion this weekend, but also New York Times and NBC News publish evidence of this. All that economic suffering, over 20 million people lost their jobs. Thousands of businesses shuttered forever. The restaurant industry wrecked. The airline industry wrecked. Did we do it all for nothing? It's a question the media isn't asking much because the answer becomes more and more obvious with every day that passes. We did it all for nothing. In the beginning, remember, they told us they had to flatten the curve. They couldn't have the hospitals overrun. Okay, that was logical. It was a measurable goal. It was somewhat rational. Well, the hospitals have never been overrun. We had to close field hospitals because there was nobody in them. And so now we're still shut down in a lot of places in the country. Why? And it begs the question, and when you say why, well, you know, you don't want people to die. Well, okay. only slows the spread but does not stop it. It is still inevitable. It's just on another timetable. Then all you've done is postpone the inevitable and wrecked your economy. And it's looking more and more like that's what we did. The New York Times admitted over the weekend in a stunning piece that it appears Sweden might have gotten it right. Remember, Sweden didn't shut down, didn't wear masks, didn't close schools, didn't do anything. They did recommend socially distancing, but they did in Sweden what we've done for 30 years in the U.S. when we have an outbreak. Those who are most at risk go into quarantine / lockdown, in this case the elderly, that was the recommendation, and they went on with life. And we were told this was killing people. Well, here's what the New York Times wrote over the weekend. Headline, vilified early over lax virus strategy, Sweden seems to have scourge controlled. What? After having weathered high death rates when it resisted a lockdown in the spring, the New York Times writes, Sweden now has one of Europe's lowest rates of daily new cases. Yeah, they achieved herd immunity. That's why. Let's look at the numbers, because the numbers bear this out. Death rate per million population. The United States right now is number 8, 656 per million. Where's Sweden? They did literally nothing. Lower than us, 578.9. Now, part of that is Cuomo shoving people into nursing homes, and that happening in New Jersey and a couple of other blue states as well. And part of it is the way that we count COVID in the United States of America. I'm telling you that we don't have a 656 per million death rate. We just don't. Remember, the coding for COVID, you don't even actually have to have COVID or have died from it to be coded as a COVID death. So a lot of these numbers are fake. But still, Sweden did nothing, incurred no government-mandated financial disaster, and came out ahead. Process that one for a minute. Now, they'll tell you, well, the countries around Sweden did a little better than Sweden did. Yeah, but keep in mind, they had lockdowns. Look at France, heavy lockdown country. Right in there, and the average was Sweden. Almost identical placement in terms of lives per million lost. Look at Belgium and Spain and the United Kingdom, all worse than Sweden. Hardcore lockdowns. They had more death than Sweden, not less. National Review has this out this morning, too. They took a comparison of all states from South Dakota to Iowa to heavy lockdown states like California and New York, and they looked at their curves. Because remember, we were told that you could flatten a curve. If you don't, you're killing people. The curves in those states, identical. Identical, regardless of when the shutdown was done. In other words, there was no reason for this. There was absolutely no reason for this. Zip, zilch, nada. We killed ourselves. We did. And it's not just the New York Times essentially admitting that. It's NBC, too. Take a listen to this live report by NBC News from over the weekend in Sweden.
Many European countries are hoping the second wave of COVID is almost over, but Sweden has managed to avoid it altogether.
Hi, Allison. Right across Europe today, there is clear evidence of a second deadly wave of coronavirus. But here in Sweden, no, nothing yet. Once again, Sweden, which refused to lock down, is a global exception. And for Americans living here, and for Swedes themselves, that's good news. It looks like the world we lost. Cafes and restaurants full, people relaxed, no face masks, no panic. American Elizabeth Dacey feels safe here.
I have to say, honestly, I'm glad I'm here in comparison to what I'm watching my family go through in the U.S.
Jim Ferula from New York runs a deli and likes Sweden's light touch.
I would say they're pretty much hands-off here in Sweden as opposed to hands-on.
Yeah. You feel safer here than you would back home.
Oh, definitely. So I'm kind of proud about the way we've handled it.
Sweden kept most of its schools and businesses open. It asked people to socially distance. Half of Swedes live alone anyway. It banned large gatherings, but imposed few other rules.
As for Sweden's buses and trains, well, take a look at this. Not a face mask in sight. The government doesn't recommend them, and Swedes follow expert advice.
I would say in Sweden we have had, the government and the experts have been really unified in their message. You haven't had that in the US.
When the world locked down, Sweden stayed open. Now some of the countries who had the toughest lockdowns, like Spain, are having a deadly second wave. Sweden is not.
Or at least not yet.
It's empty. It's empty.
In Sweden's biggest hospital, the intensive care unit, overwhelmed in the spring, is deserted. From today, nursing homes will allow visitors for the first time in months. Cases of COVID are creeping up. Sweden's high spring death toll, higher than its neighbors, could return. But most Swedes are confident their way works. A pariah state to some, a paragon to others.
And today's move, opening up those nursing homes to visitors, is a big risk because more than half of all Sweden's COVID deaths were in nursing homes. As for face masks, well, people here have told me, if the government recommends we should wear them, we'll wear them. And that may come.
Meanwhile, the World Health Organization makes a startling admission that the brilliant former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson put together for us on Twitter. WHO makes a major announcement. So far, there have been 750 million global cases of COVID-19. Why is that a shocking and major announcement? Well, there's been 1,035,000 deaths. You know what that means? If we calculate deaths from COVID the same way we do deaths from the flu, that means COVID has a 0.13 death rate, just slightly higher than the flu in 2018. Let me let that sink in. Just slightly higher than the flu in 2018. A shocking admission. I've got all the stats for that if you want to look at them yourself. I've retweeted Alex Berenson's tweet and the announcement from the World Health Organization. Folks, in the end, once we level out the fake numbers here, remember the New York Times reporting 90% of the positives are likely false because the test is too sensitive. When do you get the test? Well, they give it to everybody who checks into the hospital. Who's checking into the hospital? Well, some people having procedures and others at the end of your life. That's where you go. So they test them for the COVID. They use a test that is too sensitive that detects DNA fragments that can't actually give you COVID, but cause you to test positive. Guess what? They finally die of heart disease. God bless them. And they're coded as a COVID death. So these COVID deaths, we have way overestimated our COVID death. And still, worldwide, we're looking at a death rate of 0.13. Again, slightly higher than the 2018 flu. Guarantee it keeps coming down. The media will not tell you this. But you know when they're going to tell you? You know when they're going to tell you the truth? After the election. Especially if Trump loses. Because they will not be able to resist taking a victory lap over the way they hoodooed the public. They will not be, it will drive them crazy. They're going to have to let you know what they did. They always do. And I'll be right here on the Battleground Podcast to report it when it does. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded family and friends.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on radio.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Be sure to share with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.